Hello and welcome, podcasters, to this podcast about St. Canice's Day, brought to you in association with Kilkenny Library Services. My name is Owen Swinton Welsh, and if you are listening to this on the 11th of October, happy St. Canice's Day to you and yours. You may not have heard of this day before, but if any of your descendants lived in Kilkenny or county over the previous centuries, they most certainly would have. In fact, from around 1320 to 1773, St. Canice's Day was a holy day of obligation. The then Bishop of Ossory, Bishop de Ledred, he of Dame Alice Kittler fame, was said to be most responsible for pushing it as a holy day. So for over 500 years, people were obliged to try and attend some form of religious service on that day. For the younger generations listening, it is a good time perhaps to note here that saints' days were so important to our forefathers and foremothers, with every corner of Ireland having their own local saint. The local saints' day was often held on a Sunday closest to the feast day. These often took the form of devotions or patrons, as they were known. For instance, until relatively recently, Patron Sunday was held in Thomastown, commemorating their local saint, St. Columba or St. Columbkill. Patron, by the way, is a corruption of the word patron, i.e. your local patron saint. But here today we are going to focus on St. Canice or St. Cianach, as he would have been known when Irish was the main language. He, of course, as most of us know, is the man who gave our beautiful county its name. The word Kilkenny is an anglicised version of two Irish words, Kil, the Irish for church, and Cianach being, of course, St. Canice, the latter word which was translated by our English settlers into Kenny. County Kilkenny itself was only invented, so to speak, by the new English system of government after around 1200. It was one of the first batch of places to be shired, that is, to be created into a county. Prior to this, most of what we now call County Kilkenny would have been known as the Kingdom of Ossory, as the Ossorig tribe or the Ossorig family would have ruled it for centuries. Ireland, prior to our Vikings and English Norman friends arriving, would have been made up of many little kingdoms. At one stage, there was actually 185 kingdoms or sub-kingdoms in Ireland. The church diocese actually that exists today, that is the Ossory diocese, predated the county being created, and it is probably the best example of the size of the original Kingdom of Ossory. It was, of course, larger than the present-day County Kilkenny and included parts of Laois and Offaly. At one stage, it even included parts of Tipperary. But after the arrival of the English Normans, they decided to shire the parts of Ireland they controlled purely for governing purposes. In simple terms, shiring was a process of making counties. What is mildly ironic is how important our county structure is to us today in Ireland when compared to the English who actually invented it. If you ask an English person today, where are they from? They are much more likely to say the nearest town or city before they would ever say the county. For instance, a person from Liverpool will say they are from Liverpool and not County Lancashire. But in Ireland, we nearly always say the county first. I suppose it is the way the GAA system was established, which has a lot to do with our present love of county. When County Kilkenny was created then, as mentioned in the early 1200s, the entire county took its name from the largest settlement in the area, which we now know as Kilkenny City. This name came about in the first place as there was a church and monastic site in situ here founded by St. Canice and his followers. It was at a point where the River Nore was easier to cross prior to bridges being built. The church and monastery was located where the present-day St. Canice's Cathedral is now in Irishtown. St. Canice's Cathedral currently being the second largest cathedral in Ireland after St. Patrick's in Dublin. When St. Canice was alive, Kilkenny was only a satellite church in Ossory, with the mother church being the church he founded in Ahabo in present-day County Laois. So I suppose now is a good time to ask, who exactly was this St. Canice fella? The annals tell us he was born in 515 AD. That's a good 80 plus years after St. Patrick's arrival in Ireland in 432 AD. And here's the first revelation of the day. He was born in modern day County Derry. So St. Canice is actually a Derryman. He was born, it is said, in Glengiven, which is near present day Dungiven, County Derry. If you ever take the main road from Belfast to Derry, you pass very close to his birthplace. So next time you're up in that lovely county, you can think of the connection between our two places. Maybe we should be twinned. The Derry and Kilkenny hurlers don't have much of a rivalry, so I think that would be an easy county to support. St. Canice travelled to different parts of Ireland, including counties Meath and Dublin. In Scotland, he helped establish monasteries with his friend St. Columba, or Columbkill, of Iona. Many miracles are associated with St. Canice. The life of St. Canice lists many miracles, including that he enabled the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to talk. He is also credited with raising 8 people from the dead, which is, of course, even more than was attributed to Jesus Christ himself. But St. Canice, of course, is most associated today with Ossory. He became leader of the See of Ossory for the last 20 years or so of his life, from around 878 AD until his death around 600 AD. The reason for this must have been his close friendship with the Lord or King of Ossory, who was at the time Colman Mac Feradaig. One of the records mentions close ties between the two. Canice would not have got land or been allowed to build churches without getting permission from the ruler of Ossory. Not to confuse matters, but we should probably mention the other major saint associated with the Kilkenny-Ossory area, that is St. Kieran. He actually predated St. Canice, and so was here first, and he is officially the patron saint of Ossory. He died around 530 AD when St. Canice was still a teenager. St. Kieran could be considered the father of the Diocese of Ossory, as he was most responsible for bringing Christianity to the area from his base in Shir Kieran in modern day County Offaly. St. Kieran is considered the first Irish saint to actually be born on the island of Ireland. He was born in Cape Clear in Cork, but was a Kilkenny father, we're told. Sometimes it's easy to forget that St. Patrick was originally from England or Wales. Perhaps it is St. Kieran who should be the primary saint of the county, even more so than St. Canice, who was really only associated with what we now call the town area. It is therefore quite possible that if St. Kieran had founded a church in the Kilkenny town area before St. Canice, we would now actually be called County Kilkieran instead of County Kilkenny. But that is the what ifs of history. Now back to St. Canice's Day. It was a holy day of obligation for hundreds of years. Besides attending a church service on the 11th of October, many locals would make a pilgrimage to Kenny's Well in Kilkenny town. This is a local well with a little well house built over it. The original well house is said to have dated from the 12th century, with the current one dating from the 16th century. The well was said to be blessed by St. Canice on one of his visits to Kilkenny, hence how it became so important for our ancestors. In fact, the well has given its name to the whole townland. The area roughly between Blackmill Street and Kilcreen is called Kenny's Well today. In GA terms, if that's the only language you speak, that's the Dixburgh side of the town. I suppose the clue is in the name there. It's a well dedicated to St. Kenny, or to give him his Irish name, St. Canice. Actually, even today in Scotland, St. Canice is still known as St. Kennis or St. Kenny. It was the Dominicans from nearby Black Abbey who were granted responsibility for looking after the well in around 1245 by the Kilkenny Corporation, which of course could also be lucrative in terms of charitable donations. Close by Kenny's Well is St. Canice's Catholic Church, and just a few hundred yards up the road from that is St. Canice's Church of Ireland Cathedral. We don't make things easy to understand for ourselves. It was considered awfully bad luck by some in Kilkenny not to make that pilgrimage on the 11th of October, and either bless yourself with the water, or if you were sick, to drink some of the water. In 1670, Archdeacon Lynch of Kilkenny wrote that those who were labouring under any infirmity came to the well to implore the intercession of St. Kenny, and having drunk of the health-giving water of the holy well, have been very often restored to perfect health. The well, of course, can still be visited today. You may like to make a trip down there around the 11th of October. Although the church removed St. Canice's Day as a holy day of obligation in 1773, there was still a market fair held in Kilkenny on that day. Fair was a big day for the town, providing a massive boost to the local economy, while also giving the workers a much needed day off, or at least a half day off, to let their hair down. However, to hold the fair, you needed permission from the king. The following is from 1782. It was a notice placed in Finn's Leinster Journal, which was the local newspaper at the time. In it, the mayor, Edward Evans, is letting people know that King George III, that's he of the Madness of King George fame, has granted permission for the fairs to be held in Kilkenny City on the 5th of March and the 11th of October. The notice is as follows. His Majesty, having been pleased to grant the letters patent to the Mayor and Corporation of the City of Kilkenny for holding two yearly fairs forever in said city, one fair to be held on St. Canice's Day, that being the 11th of October, the other being on St. Kieran's Day, that being the 5th day of March. The public are to take notice that the above fairs will be held custom-free for 2 years with every other encouragement that can be given. Given under my hand at the Tollsill in said city on the 3rd of October 1783, signed Edwards Evans. In 1821, the St. Canice's Day Fair was still going strong. This is a report from the day. At the Fair of St. Canice in Irish Town on Monday last, a very fine slew of all types of stock, particularly pigs, was exhibited, and trade seemed remarkably brisk, though few of the sales, we regret to say, affected enumerating prices to the feeder, that's the seller. Some bacon brought in a guinea per hundredweight, but the general prices were from 18 shillings to 20 shillings, and other beasts sold at the same reduced rates. End quote. Even in our grandparents' generation, it was still quite common to have special masses on St. Canice's feast day. For example, in Kinmana in 1900, the parish priest there, Father Murphy, gave nearly an hour's sermon describing the life and values of St. Canice in a specially arranged mass on the 11th of October. He also described the many saints and priests who were educated in a habo in the monastery St. Canice had founded. In 1966, a four-day retreat was held in St. Canice's Parish, with the focal point based around St. Canice's Day on the 11th of October. The retreat was led by Father Mulcahy, a passionate priest from Mount Argus in Dublin. The folklore collection that's available in UCD has a school's collection from the 1930s, where a pupil of St. Canice's Primary School, his name is Christy Kenny, talks about the well and St. Kenny and St. Canice. One extract says that many miracle cures were effected by using the water and invoking St. Canice's aid. It is said that he used to come up the River Brega in a boat and pray in the well. And it is actually probably a good thing to note that those listeners from the St. Canice's Parish area and the town generally may have more of an education in school about St. Canice than some of us further down the county. In more recent times, in 1985, when St. Canice's Cathedral was celebrating its 700th birthday, it was pertinent for them to celebrate the 700 years on St. Canice's feast day in October. Both the Church of Ireland and Catholic Archbishops of Ossory were in attendance, which was fitting as the cathedral would have spent roughly half its life as a Roman Catholic cathedral prior to the Reformation. Also in attendance was the President of Ireland, Dr. Patrick Hillary. Also apt was the presence of the Bishop of St. Andrews in Scotland, Michael Hare Duke, in whose diocese St. Canice had founded many monasteries. In the same year, that's 1985, the suitably named Sean Kenny from Kenny'swell Road launched an appeal to bring back St. Kenny's Well to its former splendour. He highlighted that the Holy Well was continually visited by pilgrims, even from the earliest years after St. Canice's death, and he emphasised that this most ancient and cultural part of our inheritance must be restored to its former glory and place of reverence. Over the following years, although he didn't receive financial support from the council, Sean, along with Joe Waldron, Tommy Hackis, Jeff Hogan and Pater Blanchfield, cleaned up the whole area around the well, along with dredging the stream. Matt Gargan, the monument sculptor of Fiery Street, also donated a stone cross to replace the missing one on top of the well. Now, just to finish off the life and times of St. Canice himself, he died on the 11th of October, now his feast day, in the monastery he founded, Ahabo, County Leash. The available records give a few different dates for his death, but all within a five-year span between 598 and 603 AD, which would have made St. Canice around 85 years old upon his death. Maybe we'll just split the difference and say that he died in 600 AD, which makes the 11th of October 2020 the 1420th anniversary of St. Canice's death. The St. Canice's shrine and relics, including his bones, were on display in Ahabo for over 700 years after his death, but were unfortunately destroyed or lost in the midst of a battle in the year 1345, fought between an Irish clan family and the Norman settlers. Another little thing I realised when researching this was the unusual name of the old graveyard that's located near Green's Bridge in Kilkenny City, just across the river from St. Canice's Cathedral. This graveyard is called St. Maul's. Who was St. Maul, or St. Mella, as she was also known? She was the mother of St. Canice, of course, a nice link between mother and son that spans centuries in Kilkenny. Whatever you believe, and Lord knows there's many variations of Canice's story, with one scholar asserting that St. Columbkille and St. Canice are one and the same person, he did, though, give his name to the place where we all now are lucky to call home, our beautiful Kilkenny. Many of you listening may know the sculpture of the bald-headed man that once stood outside the Bank of Ireland and Winston's, but which now rests more appropriately at St. Canice's place near the steps leading up to the cathedral. This is St. Canice. There is also another statue of St. Canice in the churchyard of St. Canice's Catholic Church just up the street. So maybe next time you go past that bald-headed man, tip your hat or say a little prayer to St. Canice, the saint and namer of our city. Just to thank you once again for listening, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and don't forget to join your local library to avail of all the amazing free resources there. Until next time, happy St. Canice's Day, one and all.